On the line, I've got Andrew Anderson from Coast Care Waikato. Good morning.
Morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good. So just to explain, you work for the regional council. You're the biodiversity officer there, but you oversee all the Coast Care stuff happening in the region.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So I basically manage the Coast Care program for the West Coast and our friends over in the Coromandel as well.
Okay. So yeah, it's there's actually a lot of coastal action when you add the Coromandel into it, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. And this weekend even. We were just talking off the air, there's something happening up the Coromandel, there's something at Aotearoa on Sunday, and there were going to be two events in our area, were there, this weekend?
Yes, so we had scheduled a planting bee for tomorrow at the north end of Ruapuki with Te Mata School. However, we've sadly had to postpone that one just due to the weather not looking that great for planting.
Yep.
But we do have another planting event at Ruapuki, the north end again, on Saturday, which is still going ahead.
Okay, and that's at 10 o'clock, is it?
Yes, so that runs from 10 till 2. And we've also got an event happening over at Aotea as well on Sunday, and that one kicks off at 9.
Okay, and is that on the coast or in the harbour there?
It's on the entrance to the harbour, basically, so kind of in between.
Okay, right, in between. So, how far, now the one at Ruapuki, there was an event held a couple of weeks ago. Which part of that area are you actually trying to plant at the moment?
So we've been working in two areas. So we've been planting, when you come down the access road, on your right-hand side, there's the beautiful stream with a little waterfall.
Yeah.
So we've been working in that area. And then we're also working up on the other side of the road, so on the left, when you kind of come down towards the car park, like the bank, the large bank on the left there, we're getting that all planted out as well.
Okay, so normally I think of like June planting and things like that. Is this, what's the purpose of planting the gully? Is it kind of a gully?
Oh, there's a few reasons. So in many of our coastal sites have been invaded to some extent by exotic weed species, which just love the conditions there.
Yeah.
Ruapuki is no exception to that. So these, for the plantings there, it's about kind of restoring those coastal ecosystems to what would have been there originally before the weeds came along.
Yep.
And those, the native plants are far more effective at stabilizing the land than the exotics, and they also provide more habitat and more food for our native species as well, so they'll help to really increase that coastal biodiversity.
Yeah, and what I'm looking at a photo here, it mostly consists of kikuyu grass at the moment, so.
Yes, yeah, so pretty nasty stuff, but once those plants get established, they'll be shading it out. That's the vision.
That's the vision, yeah. And you just want, you had a bunch of locals along a few weeks ago, and you need people to come along and help out again this Saturday, don't you?
Yes, please. Yep. So anyone who wants to come along and lend a hand is more than welcome. You don't need any special skills or any special gear. If you do want to come along, we do ask that you bring some covered shoes, because the terrain there is a bit gnarly.
Yeah.
Bring some food. Bring a water bottle, bring some gloves or a spade if you've got one. We'll also have spades available as well. And, yeah, there would be plenty of people there more than happy to show you what to do if it's your first time. But it's just digging holes and putting plants in them. So,
yep, and you're supplying the plants, about 800 I read somewhere.
Yes, yep. So we've got about 800 to go in there. And then for kind of the Raglan, the wider Raglan area, in total this season, we've got just under 4,500 plants.
Whoa.
To go in. And then for the West Coast as a whole, we've got about 18,000 plants to get in the ground this season.
So where are you? Where are these plants all starting their lives? Like, you must have a nursery somewhere.
Yes, so we're very lucky in that all the plants that we put in are eco-sourced by our amazing Coast Care coordinators and also our volunteers, our community groups. So they're all plants local to that area, and then many of the plants for the Ruapuki and the Raglan area are coming from either the Karioi nursery out in Raglan there,
yep,
or the Kawhia Moana nursery just over the hill.
Okay, well, that's great to hear. So is there June planting happening like just adjacent to that or anywhere on Ruapuke Beach? Is that part of what you guys have been working on?
We haven't done any June planting at Ruapuke for a while. However, as everyone will know, there's the car park hole at the end there,
yes,
has just been restored by our friends at Waikato District Council. And as a result, that's kind of given us a bit of a June space that does need planting out. So that's something we're going to be looking at in the very near future, hopefully.
Okay. Have you done planting in the past on the beach, or is it not one that needs it? I imagine not all beaches need it.
No, not all beaches need June plantings. Some have pretty healthy, populations of the native grass, the native June grasses already. Generally, for Ruapuke as an example, we're really focusing on the back dune areas, the wetland areas, those spaces that would have once been occupied by other native species, coastal shrubs, flaxes, coastal forest, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the movement of the dunes is something that people are always thinking about. We're always thinking about it here in Raglan because we lost our surf tower. I think it was last winter, and so there's a heck of a lot of movement around there. I presume there are some places where dune planting is effective and others where you can't stop the natural processes?
Yes, so the dune plantings, basically what they do is we're really aiming to get the dunes functioning as a healthy dune system, basically, and so the plantings are a really key part of that. So when you've got a healthy dune planted out that's working as it should, you will get erosion, but then the dune will be able to rebuild from the sand behind.
Yeah.
It effectively acts as like a reservoir, and then it just rebuilds itself with those plants trapping the sand. So in areas where we've got active erosion happening, we don't generally go and put new plants in there until that erosion has kind of eased off. Otherwise, there's a pretty good chance that those plants are just going to, could get washed away.
Yeah, the next king tide, they'll be taken out.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of just, we just have to kind of, back off and let nature do her thing. And then once that cycle comes to an end, and the erosion slows down, then we can get in there, plant it out again, and help that dune to rebuild.
Yeah, and nature's in charge, eh?
Basically, yeah. So we're really big in the Coast Care Program. We're just trying to, give nature a helping hand. We don't really want to go against any of the natural cycles that occur.
Yeah. Hey, now something that just popped up on my Facebook feed last night was from the Regional Council, and I know it won't be you that's done it, but it was talking about the tide gauges over the last few weeks because we've had that very stormy weather. I can't get my mouse to work. And it was an explanation and some graphs showing that with the stormy weather that the tides were ending up a lot higher. Did you see that work?
No, I haven't seen that yet. Sorry, I've been a bit slow on the old Facebook the last couple of days.
Oh, that's all right. You don't want to live on Facebook anyway at the best of times. But yeah, I just thought that was just interesting because we've got tide gauges all around the coast here in our harbour, and it looked like with the storm pushing water up against the coast, it just, things got a lot higher.
Absolutely, and it doesn't take, those events can come out of nowhere, and it's always a bit of a guess as to what the impacts are going to be, I suppose. Some areas might come off relatively unscathed, and, others you can lose significant chunks of sand overnight.
Yeah, and I guess you must have that experience occasionally, the sort of the depressing experience of you return to a site where you've done some work and it's kind of, it's not there anymore.
Yes. That does happen, but if you fall off the horse, you've got to get back on.
yep.
And so we're just really trying to help those areas be able to restore themselves. It's not going to be effective every single time because Mother Nature can always put us in our place pretty easily.
Yeah.
The main goal. So over in the Coromandel, for example, they got pretty pretty hammered by the cyclones at the start of the year.
Yeah.
And where the dunes had been planted, you know, fully planted out, fully restored, a lot of those areas have already started to rebuild. The dunes have already started to come back quite significantly in the space of just, you know, a few months.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's always good. We really try and, you know, look towards the future in that aspect.
Yeah.
Because if we can kind of support them to, you know, be functioning as normal or as they should be, then, yeah, that rebuilding process is going to be a lot faster.
So do you know the history of the dune care operation here, like when it started and what was going on at the time that motivated people to get it started?
Yeah, so that was long before. I was just a wee fellow when that started.
Okay, so it's a few decades.
Coastcare started in the early 90s, yeah. 1993, I think. And that was at Whiritoa, the first group in our region. And then I believe Port Waikato was the second. And so, yeah, it's been around for a long, long time in one way or another. But as I understand it, it kind of was brought about by community, you know, people from those communities wanting to help their, yeah, help their sand dunes, help increase the biodiversity of those systems,
yeah.
And, yeah, help sand dunes act as the buffers that they should be.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid in the 70s living over at Wainui Beach in Gisborne, and we used to enjoy getting, when it was wet, we'd get these plastic little surfboards out and slide down the sand dunes from the car park. And then they yeah, they put a fence at the bottom after a while to try to stop the kids from doing that, because it was fairly clear there was some erosion happening. And I guess that's kind of the history where the coast care work has come from, of a time when we weren't treating the dunes very well.
Yep, absolutely. So what we've kind of learned from experience is that it doesn't take much, you know, like just one you know, informal pass in the wrong place of, you know, where people have kind of taken a shortcut down the dunes.
Yeah.
If the wind's blowing in the right direction, that can very rapidly become a much bigger issue, because the sand, you know, just moves. So yeah, we're really, that's another big part of our program, is really trying to make people aware that, you know, hey, these dunes are quite fragile, and trying to give them the tools to be able to access the beach without damaging those dunes.
Right, so it's not just about planting trees and dune grasses and things for you guys then?
No, it's the whole picture. So, you know, how do we keep those dunes in a healthy state going forward, which often involves, yeah, weed control, access ways, things like that, fencing, signage where appropriate as well.
Okay, right, the whole deal. We have an interesting situation. I don't know if you're familiar with it here in Raglan. It's right in the middle of town where the walk bridge goes over to Papahua, where the fields are there.
Yeah.
And when the old walk bridge was removed, we discovered it had been acting, because it had a physical structure that went out into the water, and after a few years we realised it had been acting like a groin. And it's been, so it's been eroding the sand along, and the water's getting awfully close to where the cars park at one point now. So we've had some quite strong erosion there, and it's kind of feel like, well, we don't know when this is going to stop. And we also don't know, people are saying, well, we should be planting it, and others are saying, well, if you've got this process where there used to be a groin and there wasn't, then even if we plant it, we're not going to be able to retain it or stop it from happening. Do you have any comments on kind of the power of planting, like how effective it can be in that situation, or whether it's not enough if you've taken a groin out of the way, effectively a groin?
Yeah, so we would always encourage planting in the first instance if there's not, you know, if the actual area where the plants are going isn't actively eroding.
Yeah.
Because once they get established, they're really hardy.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't take much for them to, you know, if the conditions are right, they'd only need a season, depending on, obviously, you know, if there's a drought or anything like that, heaven forbid.
Seems unlikely at this point in time,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, once they are established, they're pretty hardy, and so they can, even if you lose some plants, they can bounce back pretty quickly.
Okay.
And then, you know, if that's kind of what's encouraged under the legislation as well, is they, like, the government's kind of set that directive of that they really want this, the natural adaptation options
right.
to be the first port of call.
So if we went to apply for a resource consent to get to install a groin back in the location of the bridge, the question might be then raised, well, have you tried planting first?
Yeah, so I'm not the right person to be giving advice about consents.
No, fair enough.
I can
fair
tell
enough.
You that we're very pro the natural adaptation options for sure.
Right. Okay. And that site is it's like a public park area, so I guess that's district council. Well, I know the district council has been talking about it. It's been a conversation.
Yep.
So that's their responsibility, not yours at this stage at regional council.
Well, we work quite closely with Waikato District Council. They've done some amazing work over there as part of our Coastcare program and off their own bat as well.
Yeah.
Just at the tip of that, coming back towards the harbour in that area, we've actually done a planting there relatively recently over the last couple of years that's been planted out.
Yeah.
And that's, I was there not that long ago, and it's looking amazing.
Mm.
And Waikato District Council has been a huge part of keeping that looking good, getting it fenced off and that sort of thing. So, yeah, we're pretty fortunate that we in this program, that's one of the things I enjoy the most, is working with the other organisations, you know, other councils around the region and that kind of thing, that really have their finger on the pulse of what's happening in the area.
Yeah. I must admit, I hadn't anticipated talking about that, but just while we were talking, I remembered it. It's a bit of a frightening issue to look at it. If you see it one day and then come back a year later, it's quite alarming. You know, the changes are very clearly visible. So it is a kind of a pressing issue a few people feel around here.
Sorry, we're still talking about the Papahua area, is it?
Yeah, not the bit you've done, because that's great. it's the back end, when you come back in down the under the walk bridge and further down the inlet toward between the walk bridge and the boat ramp. It's really struggling. So
yeah. So I can tell that is on the radar for us.
Okay,
for
cool.
Coastcare. But we've kind of it's on the list of sites that we would like to we'd like to plant out, but we need to work with Waikato District on that, because ultimately, like you say, that's their turf. So they would have the say over what happens.
Okay, all right. Well, that's interesting to know. At least it's on your radar, and we kind of interesting to know that you're quite confident in the capacity of the plants to hold things back as well. Because it was a question, you know, as someone who doesn't really know, I didn't know what the answer was going to be.
Yeah, it's different for every site.
Of course,
we would definitely recommend that if the area where the plants are going isn't actually eroding, that would be the first port of call, is to get some plants in there, try and get them established, and then see how they handle it.
Okay. Well, folks, we've been talking to Andrew, who manages the Coastcare from Waikato Regional Council, and we started off talking about an event this Saturday. So can we just re-invite people who've tuned in halfway through the interview?
No worries. Yes, so we are running a planting bee at the north end of Ruapuki, so that's off Swan Access Road, this Saturday. Kicks off at 10 a.m. and will probably run till around 2.
Yep.
We would love to see you there to help us get the plants in the ground. Don't need any special gear. You don't need to have done it before. Just bring some covered shoes, some food, a water bottle, and some gloves and a spade if you've got them.
Okay, awesome. And Andrew, been great to talk to you. I know we didn't plan to talk this. You only found out about half an hour before the interview that you were going to be on the air, but I'm glad I had this chance just to quiz you about a few things there. I think it's been quite helpful.
No worries. Always happy to chat about the Coastcare program.
All right. Thanks for your time, Andrew.
Thank you.
All right, folks. That was Andrew Anderson from Waikato Regional Council. He's called the Biodiversity Officer there, but that's a council speak for he looks after the coast and Coastcare project. All right, we're going to have a little break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Hungry Bowls. Marion and Sarah have just arrived in the studio now.